Welcome to episode 24 of the Sign Radio Show. For the past couple of years, demos in JavaScript running in web browsers have become a fixed part of the demo compass. We invite NinjaDev to chat about their work, their own tool Nin, and other groups and productions.
Hello, welcome to the Zine Radio Show, episode 24. I'm Waki.
Axel.
And I'm Zifoid.
And we're back.
Hello again.
Hello.
Yes, hello
again. It's been a while.
Welcome back after being a small hiatus last month where a lot of things were happening. Mm-hmm. Too many things for us to record a podcast. So
yeah,
it's good to be back.
It is. I've been missing you guys.
Yes.
Same. Yeah, same to you. Even though I have no clue what happened the last like 2 months, but it was like at least everyone is having the same trouble of being absorbed by everything. And at least, you know, it wasn't just someone wanting to record all the time and all the other two were like waiting and ignoring the will to record. So
We'll always come back. Like even if there is a little hiatus, we'll definitely come back. We have a great episode today. We're going to talk about browser demos. Mm-hmm. Browser demos in browsers.
Sounds intriguing, I must say. I'm looking forward to that one.
But yeah, first life. So life happened. But yeah, let's ask Axel, because you've been very busy the last 2 months. The reason why you don't know anything is because you were organizing a festival. Are you kind of... did it go okay? What kind of festival was it? Did it go okay?
Yeah, it was the Basel Film Music Festival, a festival that I started for film music related topics, and we had Alexandre Desplat, 2-time Oscar winning composer of movies like Grand Budapest Hotel, King's Speech, the last two Harry Potter films, and Godzilla and whatnot, and too many to list. And it was actually really, I don't know. It's just from the moment you announced that there was no turning back. So you had to go actually go through it. And there were several moments actually within the day actually of the concert where I found myself, oh my God, why am I doing this? And you know, the pressure is just so high, and it's great. He enjoyed it really much, and the best thing I heard was from another person who knows him that he spoke highly of coming back from Basel, and when he came back from Cannes, the film festival Cannes, he was not speaking so highly from coming back there. So really good. And he played songs from several of his movies, and it was just music only, so no film along with it. And it was, from what I heard from the audience also, is that you could also just focus on the music for once and you could actually have pictures in your head from the music that you heard, so you knew whether it was a romance or it was Godzilla. So, yeah, that was great, and feedback was great, also from other composers actually who were on site, like Martin Tillmans, for example. He was one of the guys who worked with Hans Zimmer for 10 years and played cello on Pirates of the Caribbean and all that funny stuff, and so it was really pretty amazing. But at the same time, all the work piled up in the office from that week I took off for the festival. So I was completely swamped afterwards. And just now I'm like starting to get back to normal life. But yeah, it was great.
So you now have started preparing for the next one.
Actually, I should so much start with it, start budgeting and we start collecting ideas for composers, or also actually not just the classical type of scores, but I'm also interested in songs that are used in films like Eye of the Tiger is one of the most well-known for Rocky, or I don't know, Bryan Adams wrote a couple of songs for several movies, or I would have both of these things, like orchestral scores and the songs that you know from films. And with the current Top Gun film with Lady Gaga in there, it's just, you know, those kinds of associations I find highly intriguing. So yeah, awesome. We'll see what's next.
So yeah, big things demo sceners do outside of the demo scene. So awesome. Mm-hmm. That sounds really cool.
And good Critical made all the visuals for it. So at least, so we keep the family in there.
looking out for the homies. Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really cool and really interesting as well, because indeed, like film scores, it's always music is always in the background. This is three musicians again talking. So yeah, music is always underappreciated. That's
our kind of topic, right?
But it's nice to give it some proper focus, especially about the songs as well, and like how much impact a song can have in media is really cool.
And we do have a bunch of demo sceners who are actually into scoring both music and games these days. Well, Jesper Kyd, for instance, Pano Altio, Firestorm of Doomsday, for instance, he's also avid in that. So we have a bunch of them.
Scavenger,
Scavenger, the Atari guy,
won a BAFTA for the Horizon Zero Dawn soundtrack.
Indeed.
So, really? Okay. Yeah. I have to take notes. So
he's yours. He's awesome. When I worked at Guerrilla a million years ago, he was still there and scoring out the first score for Killzone, and it's that was different than this is different than making Atari music. Holy crap! Yeah. So yeah, the deep representation of these kind of people in.
Actually, I would love to bring connect these types of guys within. I mean, you know, have Jesper Kyd be able to talk to Alexander Desplat at the same festival, mm-hmm. things like that, so we can make connections through that. That would be something that my goal is ultimately. Mm-hmm. So we just had one night basically and the masterclass, which you can still find actually online, where he talks about, it's funny, like when I hear composing, this is one story that I have to tell, is that when I wrote music back then, or for the scene, it was like you sit on a track and or at the piano and you improvise and then record stuff. And he goes, Alexander Desplat said, okay, piano, just sitting at the piano and writing or composing is just improvising. Composing is when he has an idea in his head and then he writes down the notes, and then by knowing what it sounds like, okay, this is going to be like the right soundtrack for Grand Budapest Hotel. And I was like, what the hell? It's just, you wake up at night and then you just write down the notes. And I was like, how can you not hear it at the same time? But these people, they can. And that is scary as hell. But that's
it's very similar how the old Commodore 64 music was made, because there were no trackers. So they just had to code music and couldn't listen to it. Mm-hmm. So that was similar.
And that's how you write all your compo entries as well, right?
Wake
up night and then go take it out.
No, I just make music without speakers on. That's different. Let's go wild.
It's like the opposite of how I write music. Is I need to hear what I'm playing and then it sounds crappy and sounds good or not. But those professional ones with deadlines, they don't do it like that.
Deadlines. Well, they're good and bad. But then again, I mean, looking at my music making skills in that sense, the only stuff that I've actually finished is the stuff that I've done in sort of one sweep in a couple of hours. That's everything that is done.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Sit down and do it now, else I won't do it at all. It's very, very, but yes.
Yep.
But awesome to hear and good to have you back, actually. I'm very cool to hear that it was a good success and that he was very, talking very highly of you. Awesome. Next year we should all go. And we do the podcast from there.
Yes, that would be awesome.
That would be fun.
And have a special guest as an interview as well, right?
Okay, once we have Jesper Kyd coming, then we're going to do the podcast there.
I can sort Jesper. No worries. Well, that should be possible. So, Oki, how's your cables demo going?
Yeah, so things happened.
The demo happened, right? So
yeah, I did work on a demo with the guys from Trepan, who are always homies, and we made a demo for Outline, which won the first place. That was cool. I did the music for that.
Oh, it was very congrats. Cool.
So yeah, thank you. That was awesome to work on that. And for cables itself, I didn't really have time or motivation to go look at it, but I'm going to set myself very stupidly a deadline.
Oh yes,
podcast, so I can never walk it back like an idiot. Evoke is where I'm aiming for to have something. And that is terrifying because that's in like 2 months. So will it even work?
I thought you would. I would thought you would say like the next revision invitation intro is going to be
my cable demo. Hello, people. No, I'll see if I can make something, and I'll do it for. I'll see if I can do something for Evoke, because Evoke is lovely, and I'll go to Evoke. I'm looking forward to that because parties are coming back.
Yes, they are.
That's very exciting to see that slowly people are going to demo parties, and it's cool. It's weird, but it's. Are you guys planning to go to a demo party in the near future?
I'll actually try to attend Edison, but that's quite easy because it's like 7 kilometers away from here. So it's
oh man,
kind of, yeah, it's kind of easy.
Blessed, you can go home to go to the bathroom.
yeah, for sure.
You're going with the compo entry, right? For music compo.
I think there's static on the line or something like that. I'm sorry.
Going to a tunnel here.
we'll see about that. But that's at least something. And I was hoping to actually get over to Oslo and go to Black Valley, but it won't happen this year. But possibly next year if it.
It also continues. Sold out in like an hour. Yeah.
I know. I probably could be able to shoehorn myself in a bit by flirting a bit with Menace and say that, hey guys, we kind of host Modland for you and stuff like that. And no, I could probably do some influencing there, but I won't.
This is how we get ahead in the demo.
That is how we go into the demo scene. No, but hopefully next year. Anyway, I'll be going over to Oslo a bit more overall, though, because I'm switching jobs, and my boss will actually be located in Oslo. So
awesome.
So.
How far is that from Stockholm?
Well, it's an hour worth of a flight, but it's kind of 500 kilometers or something. So it's a bit of a drive, but the train ride is usually nice. Flights are horrible at the moment, though, because of the chaos at airports. Arlanda is crazy these days.
Amsterdam should be fun.
I'm so happy I don't have to fly for the coming months because it's absolutely a mess.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is terrible. Queues every day. So, but yeah. And Axel, are you coming to Evoke? It's so close for you.
No, nope, I can't because I'm organizing another event in August, and it's exactly on the same weekends all the time. So actually more likely to be at Revision in the future than at Evoke, unfortunately, because in the past it was where when I had to be at home for Revision, Evoke was the other option. So that worked. But now it's the other way around. And kids are 12 and 14, so they're not looking for any Easter eggs anymore. So more likely to go to a Revision at some point. And
you can bring the kids.
Thinking about it, it doesn't work because 2 weeks later, the festival is going to happen again for the film music thing. So,
so you're building up an alibi already. That's not good.
We will never see you.
We'll probably have to go to Assembly or some other party in the future.
Fortunately, this year Assembly is on the same dates as Evoke, so that kind of sucks.
That was great coordination then.
Well, sometimes that happens, right? It happened before, and but it's unfortunate because they have the big screen for demo scene productions only. All the game stuff is in game, I think, or is like differently broadcast. So it's going to be Shader Showdown on the big screen at Assembly.
That's cool.
It's going to be awesome. That's like 40 meters big screen, biggest Shader Showdown you've ever seen. But unfortunately, I can't make it because I'm going to Evoke. So that's for the Finnish demo scene, absolutely support them.
Yeah,
good people, and it's fun to come back. And Boost Drum's coming back, and I don't know when this goes out, but you probably still have some time to make a mod. Go make a Gabber mod. Boom, boom, boom. That's the only thing you have to do. That's it. Okay, that's enough advertising. Let's talk about the topic that our guests also are going to talk about, and it's web demos. And browser, and I think it's Java browser demos in browsers. When did you guys encounter a browser demo for the first time?
I think, I saw a lot of Flash demos and stuff when that was still working and running, and a couple of true Java applet demos. But Otherwise, I mean, it's just the last bunch of years that it really has been taking off with WebGL and everything like that. So, and it's looking really good these days, so it's crazy.
Because I was thinking that the first, like, really, I think it was a group, I think they were called the Digital Nerds, and they were doing Java demos as, like, one of the first groups, I think, in my that I encountered. I think it was at the Party 98 or something, or... And they were doing stuff in Java, and it was like, yeah, it's an applet, and it's like, why? Why don't you just code, like, weird languages like assembly? I think that was the first time I really encountered, like, how do web as a platform? Is this even possible? And then Flash had a little bit of a little ride there when it was just bloaty enough, but not bloaty enough to be not useful. I think
that's true.
People could make demos in them, which were like these megabyte big abominations of files you run in your browser. I just looked it up because I did music for a Flash demo back in 2001. There was quite an active demo scene, a web demo scene in the Netherlands. And I just looked up a takeover 2001 had 9 demos in the browser compo.
Uh-huh.
That's not bad for like 2001, where the internet was barely a thing.
Yeah, it was in my demo scene dark days. I were in dark ages. I weren't around really that much then, actually. So I kind of I had a bit of a hiatus from 97-ish to 2003, 2004.
That's basically when the Flash was a thing, I guess. That after that, because that was also, it was all like separate compos and browser demos, and it wasn't really taken that seriously. I always really appreciated like groups like Digital Nerds and all those guys in Flash actually making stuff and showing like it is valid, like look at us. And now we're in a point that, well, the browser, the web is everything. Like, you can't not, we're recording this podcast on the internet. Like, I mean, that's how big it is in 2022.
Yes, we're using it even. That's cool.
We're not all together in the same room. We don't fly over every session to like hang out with somebody. That would be cool though if we could do that. Like, we'll go to Shana's house, and then she can produce from there, and then we just crash in her place.
Sponsored by,
Lufthansa.
But yes,
actually, just one question, amateurish corner here, regarding web or browser demos. Is there any limit or minimum requirement for the machine that it's running on, or is, how does that work exactly? So to make sure that it's running properly, or?
Well, it's all unified as it runs in a browser. So you have like the power of the machine. How good I remember with Java.
Do they give minimum?
You had to install the whole Java, like.
Yeah.
The whole thing you had to install. And then Flash, it was just like packages of Flash that the browser would run. And it depended on how much memory you had. Like, it's literally like a demo. Like, if you had like little memory, it would just run jaggedly. And instead of having an executable, you just click the button on the website that launched Flash player.
Okay.
You could make standalone Flash demos even. You could compile them to an executable.
But currently it's just the regular average machine it should run on, or is it still targeted towards high-end?
No, we're going to talk about, we have a good interview coming up. Let me tell you that we have some people from Ninja Dev joining us later for an interview.
Oh.
It's Lula and Capitalism from Ninja Dev are going to talk to us about web demos and exactly those questions of like, what do you need? Does it run on your phone? Does it run on a browser? What does it actually do? So
awesome. Yep.
But what is fun is because it always is a connection from your browser to your computer, to the things that it does. And a lot of that is actually demo scene, like all the stuff that people used back in the day that started graphic, like solutions like 3GS, JavaScript, basically that kind of engine was made by Mr. Doob.
Yeah. And that is basically the core one used in every kind of 3D animation these days, on the web as well. I mean, I work within the web industry, and, most people are using it. So.
Yeah, so that was like a big impact on like how the JavaScript and a straight connection to your GPU and to your computer to actually, I think it also has something to do, but now we're just like three people that have no idea what they're talking about, trying to like guess a browser, like when you do the beep boop and then the website opens and it goes straight to your GPU.
The beep
listen
boop.
For that's more, good. But NinjaDev will actually explain how it actually works.
Oh, that's good. So we don't have to then.
And then also, I think it's awesome to see all those online solutions like Twilio and Cables, which are, of course, also basically web platforms running in browsers. And it is actually really cool because it's always unified. It looks the same in every browser. Well, I hope. But like on every machine that runs the browser, it's like it works. You can save your sessions in the cloud, at least in Cables. Like it all saves it like online. And it's really like you don't need to have the whole Visual Studio installed or like, how do I start? I need all these tools. I need all these things together. So maybe the web is the future. Cloud-based developing.
Looking forward to this interview, that's for sure.
Did you guys ever take a look at these kind of things, these webby developing tools?
I remember the last browser demo I think I watched was one from Dauria and KB or something. I'm just right now trying to find out which one it was.
Yeah, they use Cables. Dauria use Cables.
Okay.
I've actually tried Cables out. I have an account. I didn't do much with it, but just tried it out. Way less than probably you have, even if you haven't finished your stuff there. Okay, but still, you're on the way to actually being able to finish something.
I'm on the way to make very bold promises. That's what I'm on the way to. Idiot promises. I can't walk back because now they're in the podcast.
No, but I have done some stuff with Pure 3JS for work, actually, just a couple of smaller animations and stuff like that. So
nice.
Just very simple, because I'm not a 3D coder at all. So it's just trying stuff out, doing some sort of environmental mapping and stuff. But
that gives you, like, it's an easier access to that kind of stuff than runtimes. And it's like so many people make their own tools. Like even NinjaDev have their own tool called Nin. Which is all free to use. We'll go talk about that with them as well. You can all check it out. But it's also awesome that people open source all their solutions and make it available for people to play with, because that's important. Web.
Yes.
And demos. Demos most importantly, but then on the web. Great. But we don't. It's like talk about the web demo past, and then you guys are kind of like, we were both like not there at the time, so I can talk about it, but it's a bit weird. But yeah, I remember it being really fun. I remember it being, and that's the thing, maybe like it ties in of like not being taken seriously at first. It was like the demo scene has always been very like, we do this thing and we do it like this. And you make a demo on another platform, you get your own compo. If you get a compo at all, like you participate in the wild compo, not a real demo.
No, and that basically also ties into, because I created the web player for the Sound of Scene Set collections. And when I released the first version of a web player, people, it's not a real music disc if you don't have an executable, blah, diddy, blah, blah, blah. That's that kind of... So it's still in that same sense, but I do think that people are appreciating it anyway.
And it's getting better. I think it's better. Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to have a standalone player, but of who course. Has a standalone machine? I mean, a lot of people do, but it's like, times change. And I think it's cool to see that now it's just making demos. And like there's just platforms, and we call it the PC platform. A lot of Cables demos and Twilio demos and web demos are participating in the demo compo. Yeah. NinjaDev as well. They were always in the PC demo compo at Revision or at Solskogen or wherever they participated, in case I missed one. So I think that's actually, it's fair as well, because these are just, they use your GPU. You can code. Size coding is an interesting question. Like we should ask them like, hey, is that possible? How does that work 4K in a browser? But I guess it's the same as 4K in DirectX.
Yeah, I mean, they basically use the browser as their engine as well, in the sense, and then an additional framework on top of it. But I mean, it's completely okay. And to be honest, the especially the NinjaDev stuff is so polished anyway. So I don't mind at all that it's run in the browser. It's cool to be able to run it natively on my phone as well, and it works.
Exactly. No, that's the thing, is like that it's always there. And I think it's always a little, like we still do technical challenges, absolutely, that always will be there.
Yeah.
But also having accessibility for more people making demos is always better. Because more demos is always better. Hmm. I mean, that's the simple logic.
Yes.
More demos, more better.
More better. best more grammar better. Ever.
So I think we should let's talk to these kids and figure out how it actually all works.
Yes. Bring on the kids.
Bring on the kids. Today we have very exciting guests here. Before we managed to get two from the, I think, about 4 billion members of Ninja Dev from Norway, who are known for making incredibly fun, incredibly vibrant, incredibly packed demos in the browser, on the web, on the interweb, as people might know it. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about browser demos. So I'm here today with Lula. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
nice to have you. And a person with, I think, one of the best nicknames in the demo scene. It's Capitalism.
Hello. It is me, the monetary system and policies attached to it.
Excellent. The entire monetary system is here. And we're not going to talk about capitalism. We're going to talk about demos. So, yeah, very, very awesome to have you here. Thank you for joining. Lots of questions about web demos and everything that comes with you guys developing a demo, because there's so many members doing so many things. But first, can you maybe introduce to the people that might not know Ninja Dev, and this is like impossible, but still, who knows? One person goes, who? Explain who, where you guys come from, how it started, and how many members you have now, the specific number of members within like 100.
Maybe you should start.
Yeah, sure. Mm. I'm just going to GitHub to check how many members right now. What's that? Ninja
Dev. We are a few.
We're at least... Oh, because it's probably... Yeah, I think we're like 20 to 30, probably 30 lifetime members. Mm. Because, well, it started back even before 2012 as a hacker group. A few of our Trønder friends, which is like a city in the middle of Norway, started. So they always had like a hacker group that they called Ninja Dev. And then when they entered college, they basically realized, oh man, there's a Norwegian demo scene. We should go to that. And that demo scene was Solskogen. So in 2012, they basically, Sigurd Seb, Kristea and Iver headed down to Solskogen back when it wasn't. The place it was before Flateby. They headed down there and basically made our very first WebGL / 3JS demo. And that wasn't even hardware accelerated. I believe that ran in software. So it's amazing that thing even managed to run.
Wow, WebGL in software. Okay, we're gonna go into the specifics of all this. Okay, so that's been like a decade or before a decade. So how long have you two been a member of Ninja Dev?
I joined the year afterwards. So basically, the next year, they were like, hey, it turns out it's really fun to go to those demo parties. Does anyone else want to join? And I was like, yeah, I want to join. And then I headed down as well and started joining and making demos.
It's that easy. People listening, it's that easy. Just come to a party, join, find people and make
How about
stuff.
You, Julie? Yeah.
So I always heard about the Solskogen, but I never had the time to actually join. So my first like demo party was at Revision 2017. But I already heard about all of Solskogen, all of them. I always wanted to join. And since I was friends with all of these guys, then it was pretty easy to just join.
Right, so it was all the... because you're all in the same university, right?
Or yeah, like, most of us met through college.
Yeah.
That's always how that happens when you come together with people, like-minded people. And
And
that was, I think, 2017 Revision was the year of What Are You Thinking About, right? I think that was, was it the big breakthrough, like the international breakthrough?
Oh, for sure.
Well, it was breakthrough, because it was my first.
It was your first year, so fair enough.
That's but I think that was when we started, because it was an international demo scene and not just in Norway, so I think it was more. I mean, it is the biggest demo parties, and we came in fourth, I think, which was pretty good.
Really high.
I remember being so impressed and so happy about the entire production as well. Julie, do you remember we had this like midnight meeting before delivery dates where we tried to agree on the name of the demo? And we had made like this huge Excel sheet with a scoring system to decide on what we were going to call it.
Yeah.
And just to kick it off, we had decided on 5 names we for sure wouldn't choose to make sure we actually would change the name of the demo and not go for the temporary name.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sad we didn't call it for Plankwork Tube Fist, I think, was one of the candidates.
We had a lot of fun names.
Yeah.
But then we did some democracy and we actually voted and What Are You Thinking About won.
That's a really big, because it's a big group, so that's all you have to approach it with everybody having just say, and I think it's the same way you guys approach making demos, right? Everybody makes something and then just starts making stuff.
Yeah, we've always been trying to be like really inclusive. So back in college, we always tried to like bring new people on board. Yeah. So before every summer, like a half year in front, we would start like just talking loudly in at university, like, oh, wow, let's go to Solskogen. And I remember we even like held a few courses for fellow students in like demo scene making and had like a few like, just for fun, not like a full college course, but like come to our evening show and we'll teach you how to make a JS demo. And that also helped to like grow the community.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And also like, that's what I love to hear is that kind of, we just want to make stupid people together. We just try to get people in and then loudly talk in the canteen about, hey, wasn't that fun, demos? So awesome. So yeah, can you tell me a bit more about like, because you make demos in JavaScript and for a long time, as earlier in the episode, we talked about it as well, like web demos always got a lot of flack. It always got a lot of like a bad name. It wasn't real demos and people had opinions about it. So did you guys always work in web, or was there like a real time moment that was like we like proper executables, proper binaries?
For me,
you,
no.
You want to talk?
I only done JavaScript demos. Oh. I've been trying to do more other stuff after I started the demo scene, just because I've seen on demo parties that there's so many other possibilities. But
oh, interesting. What are you trying to do? What are you working? What are you working with, or on, or at?
Well, I am working on shit, but I always wanted to like learn more Commodore 64. So every time at revision, you have like this. It's usually on display, and I usually try to like learn something new. But now I've probably forgotten everything after Corona. But
it's also like a crab box after a very respectable towards the Commodore 64 scene. I'm very impressed how they do it. I don't know, yeah. But that machine is a beast and master. It absolutely is. It's not easy. So it's a fun. We once did a demo with it on it, and it was, even for me, I've never done Commodore. It's just magic. So yeah, big shout out to that scene. But awesome that you're trying to dabble in older machines. Yeah,
oh, I mean, we should have Sigve cool. Bring the Commodore next week.
Yeah. We have a Ninja Con next week.
Ninja Con.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's a little party. Awesome. But it was always web. It was always web stuff. How or why was it web?
It works. Everyone has it. It's the same reason why like everything was Commodore and Amiga back in the day, because you actually had it at your home and you could just write code and it would work. And the great thing about the browser is that everyone has one. So you don't need any external hardware or anything. You can just write something and you can see it immediately. And it will work, and it will work. And today it works even on your phone, which is like a great thing. And you can run it everywhere.
Yeah. It's actually bringing it real time back where everybody's watching demos on YouTube. And it's like, no, because everybody has a browser. It's very true and very poignant that, like, it's well done. I think that's important for to get out there of, like, of course, if you want to make a demo, do it in web. Mm-hmm. Are there technical limitations, though, because it's web? I know a little bit about WebGL. It's quite direct to your graphics card, but. Does it have latency? Are there issues you have to overcome? Which browser is best?
Well, of course, Firefox. But not for WebGL, sadly. Chrome runs better.
Yeah, I always run on Chrome.
Yeah. You hear Mozilla? Fix your browser.
Yes, make WebGL great again
in Firefox. But I mean, we always use the 3.js, right? So. Yeah. We always had a much more like high level approach to it, and especially when we try to get new people into the scene, it's easier to have them be productive and have them have a great time if they can use higher level abstractions like ready spheres and ready basically shader pipelines and everything, and then they can start working on basically fancy fractals and deformed cubes,
all the things that we need in demos. Did you both have programming experience? I'm a very old person, so for me programming is like C++ on DOS, so I have no idea how that works. So Lula, did you have any previous programming experience?
I mean, we did study computer science together, all of us, so it was kind of programming there. I don't think we ever had JavaScript as part of the
curriculum. Had the Python, I think.
And, yeah, we had Python and Java.
And they're only similar in name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Java is Java is something very different than JavaScript. Yes. It is.
Where is the Java demo scene? That never happened.
There was a little tangent, but there was a moment late 90s when people were making demos in Java.
Huh.
And there is a little. That's the same as there were people making demos in Flash. Like all these new platforms had a bit of an upspring in the demo scene. And then depending on how lasting, like how good the tech was, how lasting they were, it was like from either a few years to like one season of people going, let's check this out. Okay, this sucked. We'll never do this again. But JavaScript seems to be here to stay. Like it's been around for a long time. There were a lot of web demos before. And again, always had a bit of a negative connotation. Did you guys ever notice that when you were participating?
I know some friends. I remember. Yeah, some people I mentioned that they received some flack back in the day about like, oh, this isn't real demos.
Yeah.
But that, like, that's always been like a very small minority, really.
Yeah. I never feel like I ever heard anything bad about
that's
it. Maybe no one wanted to say it to my face.
But. Fair enough. No, but yeah, that's good because I think it's more and more accepted. Now we have the, I think the last few years there has been this movement of web demos in the demo compo, like just the regular PC demo compo also has JavaScript demos. Do you think that is fair, or do you feel like there are limitations in browsers that you can't compete versus standalone programs?
Oh, I think there's a fair chance of competing, really, but you have to compete more on art style and direction and syncing rather than pure technical prowess. Which of course kind of gives away the hint about what we keep focusing on in our demos.
Yeah, I think it's not a secret that syncing is, and that is always why it feels so good. So tell me a bit more about your process. Like, you guys make demos, you have a lot of members, 20 to 30. Like, there's a 10 people you're not even sure about if they're actually a member. Mm-hmm. And you have a demo tool even, like, on the browser platform.
Yeah. So they made this NIN, maybe, I mean, I haven't been part of making it, but you have probably, Alec Capitalism.
Back in the day, it was just one JavaScript file called bootstrap.js, which did horrible, horrible things to the browser to initialize a WebGL context and do everything. The fun thing, all of this is actually online because we've open sourced all our demos. So if you go back and look at our first demo back in 2012 for Solskogen, you can actually find the JavaScript file we used to bootstrap the entire program there.
Oh, that's fun. Everybody and, go check that out and probably cry.
Yeah. So after a while, we started making this GUI tool in the web browser to edit demos, basically. Where, so suddenly you had a timeline and suddenly you had like dependencies between scenes and you could feed shaders out from one node into another node.
Yeah.
And it would most of the time work.
Most of the time.
That's the fun, is it? So how do you guys, can you walk us through like how Ninja Dev develops a demo together?
So I think like throughout the year, people just make their own kind of scenes, like funny graphics and stuff. And once the demo party starts like coming closer, then we kind of sit down and like, I want this scene to be in it. And we just merge them all in and try to, because Sigve usually has some music. And then after a while, we try to like combine which scene should go where. And after that, it's probably mostly just syncing and color, like making the color scheme.
And getting the transitions tight between the scenes.
Yes, yeah. Transition is also what we usually do at the demo parties, because we're so slow.
That's what it ties it together, basically, then when it comes together. Because you have everybody just makes random effects in random colors. And then you go like, okay, pass. Who makes those decisions? Is that like a group thing as well? Are you voting on color schemes or?
It's a group thing usually. So we often have this like checkpoint meetings during the late stage demo making process where like, okay, so it's 10 p.m. Saturday at Revision. Well, let's better have a meeting. And then we watch through everything together and then take notes. And then we usually have like a rough idea about, okay, this scene needs blah, blah, blah. And that scene needs blah, blah, blah. And this scene needs more scrollers. Yeah. Or this scene needs less. It needs less.
Less scrollers.
Less scrollers.
Less scrollers.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's very professional, like very structured way of deciding. And is there ever any like, are people like not agreeing? Is there sometimes disagreement within the team?
Yes, sometimes we disagree about the direction of things, and usually someone yields in the end.
Yeah.
Then there's a fight, a fist fight to the death.
Closer to the deadline, someone's just giving up.
Yeah. So, but usually we manage to agree on something, and well, we're usually happy with end product. There's always more you could do, but the author always thinks there's more to do than the person who watches the results.
Yeah.
No, that's always, I think every demo maker has that. It was always, but I think it's very impressive if you have a big group of people that you finish a product, because the more people you involve, the harder it gets to like actually. So are there certain people within Ninja Dev that have like, that will cut like a knot? Okay, we're going to do this. Like, okay, let's take this decision. Let's take this step.
Not that often, really, because usually if we do a Ninja Dev prod, then like the baseline assumption is that everyone gets to contribute.
Yeah.
So if you want to make like a very stylized demo by yourself, then you have to go like on the side and do something and be very explicit about, I really want to try hard now for like half a year.
Yeah.
And then you can do that. But often when it's a Ninja Dev prod, we try to keep it open for ideas from everyone.
Right. So it is because it's that open, everybody gets to give input and it just kind of gets harmonically done. That's very awesome. I think that's not many groups. I remember that, and this is like a tick for Gargai for me bringing up Poop Rain. But a group that big and that colorful, you kind of get that distinction. It was that for them, it was always really hard to get everybody on the same page. And then there was a few people that were like, okay, cut to chase, let's finish this bum. But yeah, it's awesome that you managed to like just have everybody involved. Yeah. Luguber, feel free to cut this entire Poop Rain bit out. how long does it take for you guys? If to say like, what are you thinking about? Like, how long did that take to create?
Well, I mean, everyone probably had some scenes from before, so I'm not sure if we can include those. But I think we started merging everything together 2 weeks before or something. It wasn't that long. And then it was just like massive and a lot of late nights and no sleeping at revision. And
that's not long time, but like hard work, like hard labor at revision. That's
yeah.
Classic demo party experience, that is. But not even going, like, I'm not even experiencing the party. It's just like, sorry, we have to make a demo.
Yeah.
We had that problem a lot for like the first 4 years of Solskogen, I think, where we would barely be halfway with the demo by Friday, and then we just go sit in the corner inside and work the entire weekend and not socialize with people. I think it wasn't until like revision 17 or 18 we really realized, hey, it's fun talking to people as well. I barely know these people I'm sitting around for weeks at a year.
It's a fun experience, but it's always like it's that like two things that are biting each other. Like, you want to finish a demo, you want to hang out, can we be done? No, it's not good yet.
Yeah.
We actually had the same thing like a few months ago. We were at this Oslo meetup, a computer science meetup, and some of the guys from Outrex were there. And me and Christea were starting, like, we were drinking and hanging out with them, and Sigve and Stian are sitting in the corner working their asses off on the new version of Nin. And I'm like, Sigve, Stian, you need to join, talk to people. You can't just sit in the corner and make tooling all day. And then they actually came like half an hour later after having finished the damn thing.
That's the quote of the episode. You cannot sit in the corner and make tooling all day. I love it. But yeah, back to web, back to making demos in browsers. What are the gains for making a demo in browser, making a demo in JavaScript? Like, what are the pros compared to making a demo in some other platform?
For me, it's because JavaScript is like familiar, like you already know it. So you just have to like actually focus on what you're making and not getting into all of this other.
Because what are you programming in? What do you use to program in?
JavaScript, front end.
Yeah, but which tool? Like, do you type in Notepad and just drag it into the browser? I don't know how it works. I have no idea.
We should say, but at every demo party, I try to use Vim just to like learn it and get it into my fingers.
Why?
And it's really annoying.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know. But I always do it, and I always like, oh, why? Why? But then I just have to keep doing it because, yeah.
And capitalism, what is your editor of choice?
Vim as well. I think Vim is like the most popular browser in Ninja, most popular editor in Ninja Dev.
Yeah, I think like almost everyone makes the demos in Vim.
Peculiar.
So you sit in Vim and you have Nin running in the background with live reloads. On the right side, you have your shader or scene or whatever. And on the left side, you have your JavaScript file.
Yeah.
And then you can do cool nice stuff setup. Like... we have like scrubbing features and looping features. You can like loop the same segments of time in Nin, so you can like keep watching the animation all over again.
So you can really get sick of your own creation.
Oh, yeah. That is part of it as well, like that you yes. hate it.
Yeah.
You can't see it when you're done for like months after you finish.
That is
yeah, very cool. Like it's like, yeah, because it's so alien to me. Like I know, like when I worked on demos, it was like back in the day, it was always like just like programmers and it was very binary, like people doing their stuff. Are there like tasks? Are you all programmers or like all programmers, designers, everything? Or are there certain people that are more deeper in code and certain people that are more deeper in design?
I don't think we actually have any designers.
Yeah, I think we're unique that we only have coders.
Yeah, we only have coders.
And sometimes some of the coders do music, but we have no designers or any art people that only do art.
No.
So everybody does everything, basically.
Yeah.
And then except the music is usually the one thing that's added.
It's
a really cool way of working, and especially like it sounds like really fast as well. Like you guys can share, or like sharing effects as well, like sending them. Do they get stored somewhere online if somebody makes something in the tool? Is that all in the cloud as well?
We basically check it into each project. So you can always just copy shaders from earlier projects and copy paste them into the new one.
Yeah.
And then we do have like a small collection of like base shaders and effects, but usually it's copy paste from the previous demos. So it's very like a sourdough based development.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's very cool. And I think it's, do you guys think is it the future of like PC demos to have them in the browser? Is it kind of a heated argument within the demo scene of like what is a demo? Was always that question, like if you're just like a thing on a computer, in my opinion, but that runs real time probably.
I mean, it's more accessible for everyone, kind of.
Because you guys you're hosting your demos yourself, right?
You mean like on the web page?
Yeah. Can you track how many people are actually watching your demo in real time?
Well, I do think actually we can build them with analytics in. Yeah, I think I made code for that.
Yeah.
So you can ship Google Analytics in the demo, but you can also ship them without it. So like... for the revision deliveries, you actually compile it without tracking.
Sounds interesting to see like how many people would indeed, because it's the YouTubization of the demo scene, right? Everybody watches demo on YouTube, and this could actually be like such an easy way to just real-time watch a demo in your browser. It would be fun to see those statistics. I
was showing a friend of mine some of our demos yesterday, and then I just went to ninjadev.org and just scrolled down and clicked view the online link, and I ran it on my Mac, and it still worked, which was really fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're so right that it's so accessible. So you think, like, is it the answer to YouTubization to have something like this?
Not sure if it's the answer. It's just an alternative.
People are so lazy.
Yeah, because I think like you can't get away from YouTube, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people are always going to watch your content in the background of some party. And I guess we just have to embrace that and then perhaps make it easier for them to run the actual source as well.
Yeah.
Because back in with the Windows XA demo days, which I mean, I guess it's still the Windows XA demo days, you have to download the stuff and tell Windows, I promise this isn't a Bitcoin miner. I really am trying to run this program.
Yeah.
There is some hassle involved with just running the thing.
That's actually the thing that makes it harder now to actually run executables, because the virus defenders and everything is getting so much more on demos assets of like, you're probably a virus or a miner. And so YouTube is preferred because it's hard to set up, and in the browser it would be way easier. But it's kind of grim for you guys that people watch your demo on YouTube. You're like, it actually looks better. And it's the same click if you just watch it on our websites.
Well, it is not the same experience because YouTube compression butchers our effects.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, the pixel perfect version is right there.
Yeah.
And it's also one click. So.
Yeah.
Do you think people realize what it takes, like, and how that works? Or do you think there's still, like, a lot of, like, the demo scene is old. So, like, I'm speaking as an old person myself. Do you think do people realize what it takes?
No. I always have a hard time explaining to people how difficult it is to do simple stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, this shader, you know, you see these triangles here? That took a week of work. And when you're just like used to seeing these kind of effects all the time from series and whatever, you don't, you need teaching to know what are the hard things in demos.
Yeah.
And so you can be impressed properly.
Yeah, the difference between like this, because that's the whole engine discussion we have. And I think browser demos are kind of in that same.
Oh, for sure. You remember when like some of the first Notch demos dropped? I remember being like, can this be legal? This is just like using After Effects for demos, right? And I had like, I think a month or something where I thought to myself, man, is this, can they do this? Can you put Notch demos in the PC compo? And I think after a while, at least I concluded on, yeah, I mean, I guess you can do that because we're not using assembly anymore. And we agree that you're allowed to use high-level languages. So I guess it's just a continuation of that.
Because I think you're right. It's like there was this whole discussion. It's like, do you use Unity, Unreal, and a Notch? And Notch is a demo scene product. But then again, yes, it was 3GS. It's like using the browser. Is that like, do you feel like, does that give you a tool? Or is like, are you like that the browser is actually pretty bare? People like a browser demo is just as bare bone as a standalone demo.
But it depends. Do you want to be technically impressive or like visually impressive? Because if you like, if you grade demos by how like how impressive they look and not by how hard it was to get it done, then it doesn't really matter what platform you use.
That's that age-old question. It's like, what is the demo scene? Is it what do you guys think? What is important for you? Is it the hard work for making the computer do something it's not supposed to? Or is it like a very visual, pleasing ride?
I think a combination of both. Like I like to know that it's been hard work making this demo and not just something you did in an hour. It's like you probably didn't do it in an hour. But for me, it's like since I put so much hours into making my demos, I feel like everyone else should.
I like that reasoning. Like it's hard. Like demo making should be hard, but it shouldn't be too hard. It should still be fun though as well. I hope it's fun.
It's definitely fun, but it's also a lot of work. And then
I think at least like it being the result being fun and you having poured your heart and soul into it. At least those two should qualify you for being a demo.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if you use 100 hours on a Notch demo or you use 100 hours on a C++ demo, I mean, as long as you're familiar with the platform, it's going to be impressive nevertheless.
Yeah. And at one point, people can't really see what the impressive thing is because it overshadows everything.
Well, that's why we have old school, right? So at some point, you start introducing like new, more contrived categories again.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's like kind of. Have people push further in what they wanted to make. I think that's always the thing in a demo scene, where it is still this kind of like push forward to make technology do better things.
Yeah.
Do you feel that browser demos have a more artistic tone than, well, every demo now has a more artistic tone than demos from like 30 years ago, because back in the day, people didn't know how to make nice visuals. Really great facts, visually. I love you all. I'm making myself so hate it within.
I remember watching some like really old PC demos from like 04 or 03, and like the minutes you could get out of a single factory model, it's impressive how long those demos could last with a single shot of some rundown factory. Now that wouldn't run anymore.
Well, it's Kasparov was one of those where it was very impressive to have a big scene loaded. Like 3D really did change that in the PC demo scene. When you had 3D acceleration and then having a scene that size, they wanted to show it for like half an hour. It's like in every which way possible. Still a really good demo though.
Yeah.
But I do feel the opposite sometimes. Like, remember, Julie, in what's it called? Everything is Fashion. We had like this boombox in the beginning. I think like Iver spent a day or something making the PNG for that boombox, and we show it for like 7 seconds. And I guess that's like the opposite part of, like on the way flip side of showing some factory for 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, is that more your style as well as like content can be really good, but we pick how long it stays on the screen, and the shorter the better maybe sometimes?
It depends on the music. If there's if the music is really upbeat, then you might want to, you know, have some more upbeat stuff and not just focus on a really good rendered. Yeah,
if Sigmus had a lot of coffee this day, then we have to work harder in the coding department.
Secret is the puppet master, like his dance.
Yeah.
My monkey's make effects. Because I think it's true that back in the day, people were really proud of what they made and put it on the screen for like minutes. And that pacing absolutely has changed. And your demos, especially Ninja Dev, is known for being super fast paced. You have to watch your demos at least 3 or 4 times to actually catch everything, because certain effects are blink and you miss.
But there are like some nice things of using the web as a platform in is that for the people who are more artistically inclined and less like technically like, C assembly hardcore insane, like for those of us who can't make demo scene runtimes like Logicoma, then the web gives a lot of advantages, because then you can focus on the things that you are relatively better at, which can be like designing a scene and Yeah, for like, for instance, Rothy started joining us a few years ago back, probably like 18 or 19 or something. And I love the effects he makes for Ninja there because they're always so like psychedelic and fucked up, basically, in a good way. And it really adds something to some of our prods to have, because the place he comes from is so different from the content we usually make, but it's so easy to integrate because we're all developing for the web, basically.
Mm. And so that gives you that advantage that everything is already, like, you just have to fit it together aesthetically, but technically it all works.
Yeah, you can say so.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, all credit to the demo scene teams that make their own runtimes. I find it so impressive. I've been trying to make my own like shitty ass Ubuntu demo, and I still haven't managed to get sound working. And I started working on this thing in 2019 at revision with like four crack Swedes helping me at the party trying to get Forklang working, and I still couldn't get it to work.
I mean, we delivered, we just didn't have music.
But go on, because this, and I hope that people listening to this realize this now, that people always go like, oh, people, they use engines and they will never make, like, everybody that I know that started using either an engine or like web is easy is going back to try and make something harder. Like going back to like, okay, I'm going to do something on C64 like you, Lilo, or like on Unix, like you, Capitalism. Like I'm going to try to make my own executable. And that's very cool because you don't have to, and there's absolutely, like, I'm of the opinion, like, you make a demo, you just want to express yourself, and that's a really good point you just made of like, if this is easier, then use that, because at least you make something. And I'm really like, I love that sentiment, because then everybody gets to make something.
I mean, it's really impressive just to look at all the other demos, so you kind of also want to...
I remember when, like, 8Ks and 16Ks first started, like, arriving on the scene, like, it has to be, like, 4 years ago as well. I think everything happened 17, 18 in my mind in the demo scene.
We're getting back to, like, parties now. Like, it's slowly coming back.
Yeah.
And we had an incredible 2 years because the pandemic did, like, make for fantastic productions because everybody was bored. So we had so many good demos coming out and productions coming out. Like,
do you think people have been like saving their content for I guess this year and next year's revision?
Yeah, I hope next year is going to be wild if we're all back. If that happens, like, you know, we don't even know for sure, but if that happens,
oh, I hope it happens.
I don't know.
Oh yeah,
that would be amazing.
We miss the currywurst.
Because does the entirety of Ninja Dev go to revision? Because I remember coming up to the Orgo area when you guys did the jingles and the invite, and I was just like, the whole Orgo area was filled with all these non-Ninja kids. Like, who the hell are you? Like, what is happening? Then people started speaking Dutch to me. I was like, very baffling, but fantastic experience. So is everybody, usually everybody go into revision as well?
We're kind of like a small group that goes through, because it's in Germany. And so it's not like the 20, 30 people going. I think we've usually been around 7 and 8 going.
Okay, so it's a small division.
Yeah, but it's like shift, like who goes and everything. It just depends on if you're actually going to be able to go to Germany.
So, and then at the Norwegian parties, at the Skolgogen, because Skolgogen no longer exists, but there's a new party coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is time for a little plug, because I assume you guys will be there.
Yes. And you can tell the orgas, we want to buy tickets. We still can't buy tickets. When do we get to buy tickets to Black Valley? We have to buy 40 to fund our clan. We have to buy, like, special seats to get everyone from Ninja Dev into the party.
Because then everybody is coming. In Norway, at Solskogen, everybody was there. That's usually
I think at the most we were like 11. I think we have like a hardcore of perhaps 6 to 7 who turn up for almost every prod. And then we try to get like 5, 6 perhaps new people each year.
Yeah.
And that's usually cycle in and cycle out. And sometimes people stay and sometimes people come back every fourth year or something.
Yeah.
And that's also fine. Like, as long as you enjoy what you do, and then... some people to keep it alive.
So we've been busy recruiting for this year's Black Valley, of course. So both me and the other guys at my place of work have been loudly talking in the office about, so how about these demo parties, huh? So I think we might be able to get at least one or two from where I work right now to join. So that's awesome. Going to be fun. Yeah.
So are you guys working on something for Black Valley? Can you give us a little sneak peek, a little info?
I know Sigve's been working on a solo project. I'm really hyped seeing what that's going to be.
But no Ninja Dev product.
Everyone's been doing kind of their own. I'm not sure if there's going to be a huge...
There's still like, I mean, single. A month, right? We have 1.5 month.
I mean, we're meeting everyone next week, and then we'll see.
that might just set everything on fire.
Like. Yeah.
No, but a month is plenty. We might make one.
might be awesome. That would be, I mean, comeback of the new demo season, like Ninja Dev should be there. But, yeah. But there were tons of, there were Ninja Dev entries all through the years, so like you weren't gone. I mean, there were still predictions coming out. Anything else we should still talk about? There's so much because it's so different of demo making that I know that I want to know everything and I don't know where to start. Does it crash? Like, and if it crashes, what happens? If a demo you work on crashes in the browser.
I have to get that another beer. I'll be back in a second.
You just refresh.
Is that it? It's just... No.
I mean, refresh after you fixed why you broke it, but then you usually can tell why you broke it.
Yeah, but that's not a different... It does. It works the same way, basically. It just poops out your browser and then you have to start again.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, demos in the browser, it sounds like you type them in the browser, but of course you don't.
Yeah, you write them in your normal IDE, and then you have a tool that packs it together, in our case, into a actual PNG image, which is one of the more fun things of our demo packing tool system. So, I mean, everything is JavaScript, right? So let me take you through a journey through the JavaScript compilation pipeline. Right. So you start with, like, just a ton of JavaScript files. Usually you have some kind of bootstrap code that you put at the top, and then you put all of your other JavaScript files just towards the bottom and concatenate everything to a huge file. And then you tell other tools, please make my JavaScript smaller, remove spaces, and make the variable shorter, because you don't like compile the bytecode before you ship it. You ship it as the string representation, right? So just there, almost all size coding goes out the window because you have to ship it as source code instead of a binary file.
Yes, but of course, because it doesn't compile.
It doesn't compile. It's interrupted on runtime and then jitted to hell and back. So then you like you had there you run the program over your JavaScript demos instead of like let current frame equals 10, it'll say let f equals 10, and it does that for like the entire code. And then we pack it into the content of a PNG image file, because it turns out that if you send the PNG image file to the browser, it will start basically opening it up and basically uncompressing the photo. And as soon as it's uncompressed the photo, it looks at the first few bytes and it asks the PNG, hello, little PNG, what kind of file are you? And if you then, in that PNG, write, hi, I'm actually a JavaScript file, then the browser goes like, oh, okay, I guess. And then it starts executing the body of the PNG as JavaScript. So we use that trick, and then you suddenly get like 40% compression, because it takes the source code of the program, treats it as an image, packs it as an image. The browser opens it, realizes, hey, you're not a photo, you're actually source code, and actually runs the darn thing. Which means that all of our productions, you can actually open them in like your favorite photo editor and view the metadata. And then we have put like fun stuff like... the hash of the tooling we use to build the program, and like our names and the name of the demo in the PNG metadata as well. So it's both a valid, albeit quite ugly photo, and and the program you can just run in the browser directly. But the best thing is really you get a single file, so you get this like same executable experience about having thing, like everything statically linked together, right? You get that same experience where you can just ship PNGs and tell people, yeah, it's a photo, just open it, it's safe. But it's not
the thing. It's how viruses work, right? Like, but I love that that works. I love that it's just interpreted like, oh, your code, sure. Yeah. You, no problem.
And that's like the spirit of the web, I guess, where it's like, I just try to keep things working. I don't ask too many questions, says the browser to the user. I just try to keep the wheels running.
I try to keep you happy. And I think that's the difference there, is that indeed you run real time, but you don't have to compile. So everything is on the fly. So that's probably, but then every time you have to run it, or no, this is probably what you do at the end, like when you optimize it to become a distributable PNG file.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's still interpreted at runtime, right? So I guess the advantage is that by, if you run your code in Chrome, for instance, the JavaScript engine used there, the faster that engine is, the faster Google can serve you ads. So our interests are aligned with this corporate behemoth who wants JavaScript to run fast so they can show more ads, and we who want JavaScript to run fast so we don't have to write demos in C++.
I love this. This is very good. I love this. Yeah, and what a fun way to and also like distributing. And of course, like I remember ZX Spectrum demos being distributed as WAV files. And then don't MP3 them because that'll break. And... back in the day, there was a pirate radio station near my house that would broadcast C64 games.
What? How would you? How do you even? That's always fascinated me so much. How do you like? How can you download the demo from the air, like from sound?
It was, well, there was a radio station would just broadcast the beeps and boops that was a game. You recorded on your tape deck. You hope that the reception was good enough. So it would actually run and didn't have too many faulty segments in it. You put the tape in, you run it, and then with a bit of luck, you got a game. Radio waves. It was like pirate radio every Wednesday, I think. He was like C64 hour. He would just broadcast games. And he would tell you when he started. You could put your tape on and end, and then hopefully it worked. So it's cool. But I love it that it with a PNG file and the browser is just like, I'm just here. I'm just happy. I'm just happy to be here. Happy to help. So if people want to start in JavaScript coding, what can you recommend to like people that are listening and like, I want to give this a shot. I want to make a demo in my browser.
Lula, don't we have some handy...
Use Nin. Use Nin, and I really like the 3.js libraries. It's so easy to just start. And that, and if you already know like Canvas, we use a lot of Canvas and how to like tweak that. It's also pretty nice.
And then we can find that on your website?
Yeah, either. I think the best thing might be to go to GitHub directly, perhaps.
Yeah.
GitHub.com/ninjadev/nin.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And we even ship like sample projects, and it even has like this CLI, so you can do like nin-new project with a template and just like set up some basic project for you.
And you can also just get shaders right in there, which I've been starting to play a lot of on shader toy. And then nice. You can just copy paste that right into Nin. You might have to do some tweaks and then it just works. Which is pretty fun.
Awesome. Okay, so yeah, we'll put those in the description as well. So go check that out if you want to have a JavaScript demo making. What does it look like and how does it work?
Yeah.
So I remember even, Julia, when me and Julia delivered a... what attempted to be a 4K but ended up being like a 16K demo back in 2018 or something, the one that didn't have the sound.
Yeah.
And then I remember you made the effects in Nin, and then we basically shadertoy and we just moved them over to native shaders afterwards.
Yeah, so I just made them in shadertoy and just moved them.
Move them back and that works. That's because it's all WebGL. I'm an old man. Every once in a while I have to be reminded that these things work now. This is like, just the way computers work. These things can talk to each other.
Oh, and we also have Löwe, I guess, in Nindre. He made this website called twitter.org, which is like Twitter for demos. So,
it's really fun.
Yeah, you should really try it out. Twitter.
Explain to our dear listeners what that is, Twitter.
Julia, take it away.
So it's like Twitter, but it's a code. So you make like a demo and you have like this. You only have 140 characters. But you have some helping, like, I think sinus and cosinus and time and all of that is, like, one letter. So you can just use, like, and then you just make stuff and you can copy others and then make a remix, which is pretty fun. And there's some pretty good ones out there.
And that's just 140 characters max. So that's what you have to, so that's size coding, basically.
Yeah, it's size coding. And... I know that we actually used some of our Twitters on in the actually demos. Like we just moved them over.
Right, so you made something on Twitter first and then like this is really good.
Yeah.
I just sent you some example Twitters. Of course, in the beginning, these were actually readable, but at some point, people figure out that, you know, if you actually write your source code in Chinese, then you get more bytes, basically. So they started writing this tiny unpacker. So like when people make tweets nowadays, they have like 20 characters worth of unpacking. And then you actually write your actual code in Chinese. So you get like a few more bytes.
That's awesome. That is just, and I love that kind of seeking for optimization. So at Twitter.net, I just hear that we might be doing a future episode on Twitter, so who knows?
And like often when we make like our greet sequences in our demos, we like to have like just a shit ton of effects in the background. And then it's often useful to have a library of like, I actually have 20 effects I made just lying around. And you know they work because they're like 140 characters and they actually run in this tiny ass canvas thing. And then you can just put them into your demo. Suddenly you have this quite nice grid sequence.
Yeah.
And is it faster? It's like because it's smaller effects, so you're quicker. They all talk to the size. We had a size coding episode where it's like, oh no, making 256 byte intros is really hard, because even though you have that many of that little bytes, getting all the right bytes in the right place is really hard. Is this that similar vibe that you can be tweaking a really long time in a Twitter, in a tweet, to get it right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, you have to... I usually like always go over 140, and then I have to sit a long while and actually like try to figure something cool out to actually make it still work, but like 140. So you have to like be careful of the size.
It does work when it's bigger, but then you can't use... Okay, so that's, you have that limit.
You just can't publish it when it's over 140, but you can still look at it, and then you have to like sit there for... However, of course, there's a ton of
hacks you can use. I remember at some point people figure out that we weren't actually clearing the canvas between each frame render. So instead of like putting loops in your code, you can just use the fact that you're not actually clearing the canvas, and then you can just like keep iterating and drawing more and more stuff onto the same photo, and suddenly you get like, I mean, you can use time instead of space basically to make your effect cooler.
Yeah, you have that, like, we've seen those feedback effects. I think the tick 80. In the byte battles on TKDB, so people do that and like saving themselves a byte by not redrawing and using the cycle. And that's awesome. It's kind of the size code aesthetic. So this shoot meat. It's basically what they do. That that all fighting for that last byte and that one byte, and it's 141. I can imagine you go like, how? Bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the worst thing about size coding is like, okay, so you drop some symbol, like, I don't really need this GL function, and suddenly your size goes up because the compression algorithm suddenly couldn't pack as well as before you removed the bytes. So like your pre-pack size goes down, but your post-pack goes up, and then it's just like hair pulling time.
This is the existential crisis time. How am I going to get this done? Awesome, and that's also, of course, all web-based. Yeah, the web. I mean, we see more and more older groups also endorsing or even using web-based platforms, MFX, back on using cables, Farbrush, the Palm. Do you guys feel like is it more seen than back in a few years ago? I think for Lilith maybe this is like
it's all I know.
Seem to know, but maybe capitalism.
Well, at least in Solskogen, I never felt anything bad against web. Really, I mean, it was always just a platform, and people made stuff for that. And if your stuff was cool, you got upvotes and upvotes on Poet as well.
That's the important part.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get hate on Poet, but then I think it's Luguber that comes in and slams people in the chat. So I think I've had, if I remember correctly, him defending us once. It was either him or Gloom. That was quite fun.
Norway's demo scene bouncers. Yes. Coming in to like whip. But I think I think it's all very positive. And I think, because how can you hate on a Ninja Dev demo? They're always like so happy and fantastic. I'm a fan. In case people listening didn't realize yet.
I remember we had this huge idea back trying, we never managed to execute on it, but basically trying to put something into every compo category at revision at once in the same year. Sigurd lobbied really hard for that one, but he couldn't quite get the rest of us on board in that one.
It's but a good plan.
Something for 23.
Yeah, do it, because we've tried it and it's really hard, but it's really fun when you manage to have an entry in every compo. And then
you also have to get past pre-screening, which of course is the death of Ninja Dev, at least when you try to submit music and drawings.
Music is the music compo revision. So many, like, it's not for this. It's also another tangent of like grandfather tell stories about why so many goddamn musicians have to add the songs at revision. They have like 90 entries, and then select like we can't play all of them. I wish we could, but that's just not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gave up. Like, is just there's so many talented musicians.
I guess the solution is to bribe the admins, basically.
Yeah.
Only way to get into the music compo in revision.
They're very unbribable. I know them, and no. Bitch already now looks at me with a very stern eye. Like, they take their job very seriously. And they should. Yeah. But yeah, that's the one compo I think that you should maybe, but the rest of the compos is usually like, and that's tracker music is, I tended to go for tracker music because there were less entries there, but that's also growing because people now have picked it up again, so.
Oh, regarding tracked music, I have a really fun story from, believe it or not, my optician. So I was at the optician like a month ago trying to get new glasses because my previous one had exploded by accident, so I had to get new ones.
That's a good story there already. Right, but go on.
So I'm at the optician and he's like, so what you do? Oh, I'm a developer, I guess. And he's like, ah, I like to do music, and I'd prefer to just only do music and not be an optician. And by the way, I make tracked music. And I'm like, what? Do you know about the demo scene? I ask my optician. And he's like, ah, I have a friend in the demo scene, but I never really got into it. And now I'm so old, I think I'm too old to get into the demo scene. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? You should join us at Black Valley.
Yes, you should. Yeah. Bring your optician to Black Valley. That's, I mean, one like, of the best things I've heard this week.
He's making tracked music on his spare time and producing electronica. And he's like, ah, I think I'm too old for the demo scene. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? You should join us. But I think it was like, ah, perhaps, probably not. So I think I had to go back to that shop and basically tell him, you're coming with us to Black Valley.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to have a tracker music entry for the music compo. I think it's very important. That's how it starts. And then tell him Booster Drum is coming up and you should enter to Booster Drum. 4-channel Gabber. Like, it's the best thing.
4-channel Gabber. Oh, man.
For everybody listening, we do it again, July this year. 4-channel, 500 kilobyte size limit, mod files, play it in Pro Tracker, we play in mono. Enter. Okay, I think we're completely now spiraling out. So before we wrap up this interview, it's been very lovely talking to you guys, and it's very inspirational to hear your take on demo making, and especially as an old head, as a very old man that's been in the demo scene since before you guys were born, probably. That's a joke, a really existential thing that might actually be true. But it's really good to see that, to hear that take of like, this is how we work together, this is how you can make a demo, and the demo is just everything real time which you can enter at a demo compo. And I love seeing the browser platform getting so much bigger and hearing that like accessibility is key. Like, we don't have to make all our own engines. And then even hearing from you guys that you are still dabbling on Commodore or your own Linux entry, that's awesome. Always the other way around, people that are worried about engines killing this
there are two parts, right? Because the first one is, are you even able to make anything demo like but the second part, which I think most people deal with, is how do you even get to know about the scene? For our part, it's kind of random that I think Stian and Sigurd just stumbled over the thing and then basically pulled into the rest of people, and suddenly we are like 30. But I mean, how, if you're just like hanging around and you like doing coding for fun, how do you even end up into the scene? How do you
We did an episode about it for Outreach, and it is like back in the day, people just happened upon it. Very weird. It's a very weird, like, it's constructed, but I'll get this out of the show now. But yeah, no, Outreach, I mean, do talks, and as you said, like, talk loudly in your canteen about this cool thing on computers. If you like computers, you would love this. You should join us and come to Black Valley. I mean, that is how, like, you happen upon it if you like it. And because the world got so much bigger, less people seem to find it. But then now people have been telling me for years, like, oh yeah, there's less and less people. And then I go to the VIP room at Revision and it's full of Norwegian young people. I'm like, who are you? The demo scene is absolutely not dying. So, and it was one of my favorite experiences there, because it was just, that vibe is so great of all of you together, is that you're clearly all on the same page. And that is just awesome to see. And I hope
for some reason, multiple of the Norwegians also know Dutch.
Yeah, that's, I don't.
And for some reason, multiple of the Norwegians also know Dutch. We tried to keep that as a requirement.
I got spoken to in Dutch. It's like, what is happening? Like, what is this like shadow dimension I fell into with Dutch-speaking Norwegians handing me beer? But it was great. It was lovely. I hear, like, is there anything you're working on? I hear Renin as a term.
It's a new NIN, like, it's rewritten. So now it's like TypeScript and not just JavaScript. And I think there's something else. Probably other stuff done to it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think the entire GUI has been redone in WebGL. So, like, before we would use HTML to actually render, like, when you look at the graph, right? You look at the graph part of our demo tool. That used to be just normal HTML, but now that's entirely rewritten in this, like, custom WebGL widget toolkit, I think Sigve and Stian made in the corner back when we were talking to other people at this party. And like, I think the live reload part is better than before and less bug prone than before as well.
Awesome. Is that already available? Is that
everything's open source. You can download it.
It's already everything there. Is right. open.
Please use right. it.
Awesome. Go check that out. Go check out Nia Dev Demos. Is there anything else you guys want to share to the world about JavaScript demos and web demos?
Well, for Outreach, I remember sitting at a cafe and just making something. I think it was for one of the revisions. And people just came by and like, hey, what are you doing? So that was also just sitting in a cafe and making stuff. People like get
That curious. Sounds very cool. I was just sitting in a cafe making demos. That's yeah. like very, very cool. You just sound very cool. I love it. And capitalism, anything else to add before we wrap up?
I'm just really looking back to like to physical demo parties again. For my own part, I noticed my motivation has really been lacking when there hasn't been like a physical party attached to the actual releasing of the demos, right? There's something about the crowd and everyone like going, oh, and whoa, that I really miss.
Just seeing people that you kind of know from the demo scene. Like you don't ever meet them ever other than at demo scene. So it would be nice to actually meet them again.
And of course, the long walk through the toilet tunnel at the mission. I've really been missing that.
With the pepper schnapps.
Oh, God. You know, it's that you start missing the walk through the toilet revision. Yeah. It's been that long, but soon we'll definitely meet in the future. I can't wait to see you guys again in real life. It's been wonderful to have you on the show and to get an insight in your work process and web demos. And good luck at Black Valley. And hopefully to see something from the internet there. And we'll definitely see you in the future. And thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So, that was a lot of information about browser demos.
Oh, yes, indeed. I do enjoy this. They were very, very giggly and, just happy. I like that.
That's very enthusiastic. I really like that spirit of just creating that really gels with me so well. It's just like, we don't care. We just want to make shit.
Yeah.
And no matter how. And then again, always that like twist of like, oh, no, I'm actually dabbling on a Commodore. Oh, I am actually dabbling on Unix. Everybody's always so afraid of, oh, no, when they have tools, the kids won't make demos. And everybody always starts making demos on another platform and figuring it out. So no worries, people.
I do love the fact that they don't really know how big Ninja Dev are either. So like, are we like 10 or 55 or something? No, it was just very loose.
Having to count actual members hanging around. And it's the big conglomeration of Ninja Devers. But yeah, really fun and super inspiring. And go check out Nin and the new Nin and everything, or Cables or Tulio, and go make demos on the web. Why not?
Yes.
It's fun. And exciting.
Exactly.
I think that we're getting to the end of the episode. We have some parties coming up.
Yes. I do know that there will be something broadcast from Poland. I can't recall what it was, but they're using our system for that. That's also one thing. CNSAT we've kind of been in a sort of a hiatus state as well. I realize that now because we had our annual meeting last weekend because we're an association, so we need to have that. And we realized that, okay, so we aired 27 episodes last year and 12 of them was this podcast. With this podcast. So this podcast is basically running half of the shows on CNSAT right now, which is
excellent.
Also
not excellent.
So you mean you get the thousands of government money from just the fact that we broadcast our podcast there?
Yes, that's excellent. Basically it.
Because you can't see this, but we have visuals. Ziphoid is literally in a pool now, filled with champagne.
That's especially champagne. That's just so me. So that's completely okay.
Exactly. You're in it. Like you're not drinking it. You're in the champagne.
That's true.
Bubbly water.
But overall, that's something we've had way too much real life stuff to take care of lately. And I mean, this is also why this podcast has been on a sort of a hiatus for a month as well, because we all have had way too busy stuff and
things happen. Life happens. And again, we make the promise that if we might miss a month, then we'll always come back. Like that is definitely the plan. For real life parties we talked about, there's a bunch coming up. So we have in the coming months alone
Underground Conference is back for a whole week.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah, it's mental. I hope they don't have as many storms as last year when all the trees fell down and people nearly died. I really hope they have a calmer year this year and it's just chilling at the lake. Mm-hmm. Evoke is coming up. Gup Data, Addison, you talked about as well. Yeah. Arok Lost Party in Poland. That might be the one that used stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Black Valley, as we know, is organized and also sold out within like an hour. So that is just also happening and gone. But yeah, so there's a bunch of real parties coming up. So yeah, that's really exciting to see. And I hope that even with numbers going up again, that we can keep it manageable and these might still happen. We had a few parties happen. We had Outline happen. And there's some other parties that already have been. I really, really hope that we can meet each other more often at a party place.
Yes, indeed. And they actually rescheduled the postponed X party now for next spring instead. I think it was February or something like that. No, it was a summer. You need to like look that up. But
it's always November when it was, but yeah, then they just push it to. So they missed
June.
2 years. Yeah, they missed 3 years. So then 2023 is like, they're like a year and a half in step now of their once every 2 year party.
Indeed. So it's basically in a year from now. This is June 2nd to 4th next year.
Nice. X is always a great party.
Yeah.
Even if you like start doodling with a C64 and then go, because it's so much fun to just bring an entry to them. And these guys are, they live and breathe Commodores. It's terrifying, but in a really fun way.
Yeah. And it's also a quite different party in the sense of that they actually try to play every single entry. So I remember one time we had a music competition going on for like 6 hours or something. It was crazy. Well, it was good fun though.
They also only have like three compos. They have like graphics, music, and demo. Basically, that's the compos they do. But they play everything. And we entered some entries and they played them.
Yeah, good.
And if they should have, we're not entirely sure, but they did. Lovely people as well. So yeah, awesome to see them coming back. And
in a year, that is. But that's cool.
In a year, yeah. Hopefully next year it will be even better. And then I can't wait. Like, I'm really looking forward to Evoke. It will be my first demo party. Outline, unfortunately, didn't happen for me. But yeah, it's going to be a good time to see. And it'll be weird to see people in real life.
And go, what date is Evoke, actually? Still here. What date is Evoke?
3rd to the 5th of August, something like that. If we now wait for
that early? Okay.
2nd to 4th even. Okay.
2nd to 4th of August. There's a take in there that we can use.
Are we going to host a live podcast from there? Oh. We'll see. No, we're not going to do that.
For the listeners, Shana makes it very clear.
Hockey will be live, and the rest of us will not have a clue what's going on.
No, that is, it always sounds like a great idea, but the way I execute it, like, it's way harder. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. And we'll be back next month. Definitely, maybe.
Yes.
But yeah, we're aiming for it. That's the thing that we're definitely doing. Definitely, maybe doing.
Definitely, maybe. That's the best definition ever.
Yeah. So yes, I think we should wrap it up. Thank you guys for joining again, and good to see you all again.
Yeah, yes. good to see you again, indeed.
Not hiatus. Yes. So, thank you for listening to episode 24. The show was hosted by Oki, Axel, and Ziphoid, and produced and edited by Shana and Laguber. Shout out to PS for his great talk on web demos that helped research the episode. Sign is made possible by donations. If you want and can help out, you can find the donation links to Scenesat and Echtzeit in the show notes. And thanks always to Scene.org and Bitfellas. Let us know your questions, suggestions, and feedback at ScienceRadioShow@Scene.org, our social media accounts in the show notes, or Puet. And again, please do. I don't think we get a lot of email. So please send us email and ask us questions.
Plenty.
If you like the show, please share it with your friends. You can find us on Scenesat, Spotify, and wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts. But mostly Scenesat, we're half of their shows.
Yes.
Okay.
Good seeing you guys again.
Yes. And, see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Hello to everyone, and have a good summer.
Beep boop.
don't put this in. Look, Uber, this is just fluff. It's all got fucking outtakes.